You think that. What song are you playing? Tell me.
Me, I'm afraid you're never satisfied. Here we go again. We're sick like animals, we play pretend. You're just a cannibal and I'm afraid I won't get out alive. No, I won't sleep tonight.
Go on a carnival cruise.
Doesn't it?
I want to
make
do a
you?
Go on a carnival cruise to the Mexican Riviera on the Elation, where they have awesome DJs.
I don't, that doesn't go to the Mexican Riviera anymore.
Oh no, did it? Oh, that's okay.
Anyhow,
for the listeners, I used to be a DJ on the Carnival Elation when it went to the Mexican Riviera, but it doesn't anymore. So that's a good story.
Is there a reason why it doesn't go to the Mexican Riviera?
Certain cruise lines have cut out certain parts of Mexico because of the high crime rate.
Oh, I think in this particular case, they actually just put a different ship for the Mexican Riviera. I think they moved the Elation to someplace else.
The Elation, I think, is now a 3-day one when you were on the 7-day.
I was on the 7-day,
right,
yes.
But in general, cruise ships are
avoiding
bypassing
Mexico,
sadly.
Well, unfortunately, the places we stopped were kind of divey, but I had a ton of fun in Puerto Vallarta. So I actually did. I got to know Puerto Vallarta really well and Mazatlan, where I got mugged. Anyway, welcome to the Cleveland Podcast with Josh Jen and Ed. I'm Josh.
I'm Jen.
And I am Ed.
And you can find us on...
You know that intro?
Yes.
It's like, whatever.
Okay, that's your last Big Brother reference for the rest of the show.
That was hard. Like, it's so subtle. Golly gee willikers, guys.
Yes, you can find us online at gleefulpodcast.com, on Twitter at gleefulpodcast. I'm at Josh Brunell. She's at Jenny B. Creative. He is at Edward Giordano. And we are back this week. We've got
You didn't sound like you struggled through my name this time. I'm impressed.
I've been practicing.
Honestly, the last 3 weeks, you've been really smooth with it. Which
straight
is
up,
nice.
I stand in front of the shower. Whoa. I stand in front of the mirror each night, and I practice Edward's name.
Isn't it complicated for all inclusive purposes, but okay.
There's like three vowel sounds in your name that, like, my people are Mexican and my mouth, like, is made to speak Spanish. And there are three vowel sounds in your name that my mouth just is uncomfortable with.
Like, and I just don't feel comfortable right now.
That is such a weird explanation, Josh.
I don't know if that's reasonable, but it was amusing, so points for amusement.
That's why you married somebody with one syllable last
exactly.
name.
Exactly. Lane. Done. Can't miss it. How are you today,
Jane
Jennifer?
Lane. I'm good. Doing good. It's Wednesday. Yay.
It is Wednesday, and which means it's the show. We have lots to discuss tonight, but I think the major topic is going to be the Glee project for the week, as well as some news and some other things as well. Lots of stuff going on in the Gleeverse. Ed, how are things back east?
Back east. Things are good, you know, since it's Wednesday, a.k.a. my weekend. And what else is going on? I know, right? I'm moving into my new apartment. I'm still in medias res right now of transferring things, but it is happening. This new apartment's super, super nice.
And this is your friend with the dogs? You moving?
Yes, I'm living with the dogs. Okay, so quick aside. My future roommate, Dita, is quintessentially trapped in Asia because her return flight is through Canada. And apparently, if you're going to be in Canada, even if it's just for 3 hours to transfer flights, you need to get a specific traveler's visa for that now. And she didn't get one. So she's kind of trapped in Asia.
When did Canada get all badass?
So, but that's what she like. She called the Canadian embassy in Indonesia and was like, "Is this true?" And they were like, "Yes."
Wow.
Oh, and by the way, Ed, happy birthday.
Oh, yes.
Happy early birthday. That's right.
Happy birthday. Ed's birthday is tomorrow, which is the day most of you will be listening to this Thursday. So send a very happy birthday message to Ed.
I'm going to like die soon. I'm like 23 soon.
Really? I'm going to fly out to Indiana and slap you for that statement. Hey,
but before you slap me, we should go to some college bars.
Okay.
Awesome.
Because then I'll just shoot myself and I won't have the energy to show you, to
actually
slap you.
Oh, no, we didn't.
In Indiana?
Yeah, no. When not the time that we went out together, but another time years ago, we went out to a bunch of IU bars.
And Ed, there's been a lot of questions in the email and on Twitter, so I don't want to open up the floodgates here, but do you want to give us like a 30-second preview of the album?
Oh, really? People have been asking?
They have been asking.
Oh, okay. Well, because I was nervous that you were going to tell me not to talk about that. Okay. Well, I'm not nothing has been officially, well, that's a lie. Stuff has been officially recorded, but it's nowhere near done. But I had a very significant breakthrough with my lead single. And that's like something I haven't really shared. Like I've been sharing like other things, like not I'm trying to keep the lead single like in lockdown. So, but yay. Well, I do randomly spew out lyrics that I'm writing on Twitter. So follow me.
Awesome.
And I promise it will debut on Gleeful Podcast, and I'm very proud of it right now, and I think I promise I will not disappoint.
Do you have like a target drop date for it?
No. Okay. I mean, I want it to be right. I want
fall,
it to be perfect.
Fall, winter.
Like, I want it to be perfect.
I know, right?
I want it to be, yeah. You can only debut once unless you're a Nicole Scherzinger, so I want it to be right.
Well, that answers many listener questions. Yes, I always love how albums drop. Nothing else drops. Like, yeah. And honestly,
movies,
I don't think...
drop, don't they?
I'm a white boy from Southern California. Albums don't drop where I come from. They're kind of like, they are released where I'm from.
They are released, yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
Well, yeah.
Well, you know, that was very cool. Thank you. And happy birthday to Ed. And let's talk a little bit about this. Of course, Loser Like Me from Glee, and a huge fan video was assembled.
Awesome.
More than 400 Gleeks assembled to put the video together. You can find it on YouTube, and it's pretty amazing. And it's essentially, they each drew a word, like wrote a word from the song on a certain part of their body. And apparently it
or
took 3 months. What?
Or a sign.
Sign, yes. And it apparently took them 3 months to assemble all of these people. It's pretty amazing. You should go check it out. And there's not much to say about it, except I was watching this thing, and I sent it to you today. I don't know if you got a chance to really watch through it.
No, I was in meetings all day.
But I was watching through it, and I was like, there's a lot of fan groups that we could be a part of. And you and I, especially at Comic-Con, got endless crap for being Glee fans. Maybe it was just me.
Maybe this is you.
Endless crap for being, like, for doing a Glee podcast and being Glee fans. But then I see something like this, and I am, like, totally unashamed to be a part of this community. Like, you look at the world, and there's a whole bunch of crappy stuff going on, and then I see a video like this, and I go, you know what? We're doing all right. It just makes me feel really good to be a part. So I know a couple of our video, our listeners are actually in the video.
Oh, really?
So it's pretty awesome. You should check it out. I'll put the link on our website. But Ed, have you seen the video?
For this, I should see it because you make it sound inspirational.
It's pretty inspirational.
Well, okay. So those listeners who are in it, just tell us what time you're at in the video, because we'd love to see you. That'd be
and
awesome.
I swear Kat Dennings is in there somewhere. I saw her. She flashes by, I'm pretty sure. And I think Charlene Lee, but it could just be someone who, or Charlene Yee, but it could just be someone who looks like it. So check that out. It's pretty awesome. And in other Glee news, apparently Darren Criss was lying to us, Jennifer. Or
okay.
At least.
And maybe he was contractually obligated to not say anything.
That's what I think it was. Or he just, at the time, was not actually in negotiations. But it is official, Darren Criss will be going to Broadway.
Yay!
To fill Daniel Radcliffe's role in How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying. He's not going to be there for very long. I'm trying to find the dates here, but I don't... January 3rd to the 22nd. He will be in there.
It's a short run, but...
So he's not going to be there for very long. He's filling in after Daniel Radcliffe leads the show, and they don't actually know if the show will continue after Darren Criss. But he is going to Broadway, even though he did tell us when we saw him at Comic-Con that he was not...
See, probably at that moment, it was probably true, but, you know, like, we've gotten to the point where... Everything on the internet is a lie. Everything on the internet becomes the truth now.
See,
like that's the stage we're in.
That's not true. But I think that like there's so much information on the internet, and things get spoken about on the internet long before that. Like they're even in talks.
It's
I would say,
buckshot.
Yeah, somebody like came up with the idea, put it on the internet, and it's in the ether because there's only so many people that can play that role. And, you know, it's in the ether. Maybe somebody read it and said, that's a good idea. We should actually ask him. Or maybe, you know, someone was in the process of asking him and it just hadn't gotten to him yet. I don't think he lied to us in San Diego by saying that
he might have been playing
coy.
I believe that he was absolutely playing coy. I'm sure the deal wasn't presented, negotiated, and inked, you know, in the week and a half since Comic-Con.
Well, it certainly could have been, but yeah. It's a bit of a stretch considering the time commitment that it will prove to be in January.
Well, maybe at that point it was like highly considered and at some point it became official.
Yeah. And I think maybe he couldn't, you know, again, maybe until it was a done deal, maybe he couldn't say anything.
True.
But it's okay. He can lie to me all he wants if he's that adorable.
Well... he will be doing How to Succeed in Business. A couple of our listeners tweeted that they already have tickets, one of them to his closing night performance. So when you see that, you all need to email us and let us know how it is. I'm sure my concern is, of course, that half the audience is just going to be 14-year-olds taking pictures during the show because they don't know you're not supposed to do that.
I'm sure they tell them as they walk in.
I would hope so. But it will be interesting.
And some fans aren't 14-year-old girls, Josh.
Oh, no, I understand that. But there will be a larger population of 14-year-old girls going to see Darren Criss do How to Succeed in Business than, like, most of the other shows on Broadway.
My biggest concern would be that they would be bored with the show because it's kind of a dated theme and it's not, you know, it's not the type of show. It's not like going to see Wicked or Avenue Q.
What do you mean?
It's a different type of show.
Oh, because it's an old show?
Yeah, the subject and the music, yeah.
I love How to Succeed. It's one of my favorite shows.
It's fine. It's just a little dated. I didn't like. It didn't grab me.
Well, I think
it's not as like, you know, pop ready type of.
I agree. It's much more classic Broadway.
Yeah.
And I think at the time it was probably, you know, a
very
satire of current.
Yeah.
And then now it's kind of like a comedic Mad Men, shall we say.
Mm-hmm.
I quite adore the show because I listen to it as very much a comedic Mad Men. But it's interesting. You make a good point. I mean, it certainly doesn't have the modern pop sensibility that something like Wicked does.
No, not even close.
So it'll be interesting to see. I do hope that he releases a soundtrack, or that they release a soundtrack of his performance, though, because that Daniel Radcliffe one's pretty crappy. That kid, I like Daniel Radcliffe, but he can barely carry a tune. So he's holding on for dear life, though. He is like really good hopes on that.
I heard
record.
He has really good stage presence.
I'm sure he does. Yeah. He has to compensate. So that's mean. But yes. But also, he's being held up against pretty great performers that have done mm-hmm. that role. Anyway, Darren Criss doing that, so that's exciting. To the listeners who go to it, you should absolutely let us know, because I'm curious.
Take pictures.
Don't take pictures. That's
sneak taking pictures.
Jennifer's like, what the heck? Jennifer's trying to
incite a riot.
You know, a while ago, Emmy nominations came out, and we never really got a chance to talk about Emmy nominations for Glee, but it is set to yet again be a big winner at the Emmy Awards, or at least be a big nominator.
Yeah.
Not only is actress Jane Lynch hosting the program,
yay,
but lots of other nominations as well. The big news was that of the 5 guest stars nominated for Emmys, 3 of them were from Glee.
Are you serious?
Yeah, including Gwyneth Paltrow, Kristen Chenoweth, and Dot Marie Jones are all going to be competing for Outstanding Guest Actress in a Comedy Series.
Wow.
So this is kind of wild. One, Dot Marie Jones being called a guest actress.
That just kind of made me scratch my head a little. Yeah.
And then Gwyneth Paltrow and Kristen Chenoweth. You know, it's kind of wild. Ed, you're not a big fan of Kristen Chenoweth on the show. What do you think is her appeal that she's managed to get an Emmy nomination?
A lot of people like her. I don't entirely get it. She's talented. Maybe I don't like her because she's so gosh darn relatable, and like I'm just like push away. Everyone's like, she's so real. I'm like, yeah, that's, I want a fantasy.
I don't know anybody who's that perky all the time. Seriously.
I mean, maybe not that way, but
no, she's adorable. She's just so darn cute.
She's not very. I guess I don't like her because she's not very edgy. I guess I don't know. I don't know why I don't like her. I don't know. I'm sorry. But people are attracted to her in terms of what she does. They love her voice. They love everything she does. I have friends who like watch TV shows and episodes that she's on just because she's on it. So, I mean, I just missed the boat.
Well, the other nominees in that category, I was wrong, there's actually 6 of them. The other nominees are Cloris Leachman for Raising Hope. I'm a huge fan of Raising Hope, and Cloris Leachman is freaking genius on that show.
She is, but
again,
is she
she's a
guest?
She's a main character.
So they're not
so
calling
it
supporting, they're calling it guest?
Guest actress, correct.
Honestly, she's in every episode. I can't believe that's not supporting.
Well, and the interesting thing is that the next nominee, Tina Fey for Saturday Night Live, she does 1 episode, and she's up against people like Dot Marie Jones, who I think did 10, or Cloris Leachman, who, if not the entire season, damn near the entire season of Raising Hope. 99.9%,
yeah.
And then Elizabeth Banks for 30 Rock. That one strikes me as kind of odd, just because as much as I like 30 Rock, Elizabeth Banks, I don't know, I guess she was good. I adore her as an actress.
She was really good, and it was a pretty extreme character in, yeah, she's pretty intense character is what I meant to say. But well, I mean, they always run into this for like the Emmys. The host of the Emmy could conceivably win next year for hosting something.
Yeah, exactly.
Against somebody who does a weekly variety show or a nightly variety show. So I mean, it's there. You can't just measure it like that. And I guess technically, people can submit themselves, or their show can submit them in whatever category that they want.
Exactly, yeah. It's strategic to figure out like where they can put you know, where you'll stand the best chance.
I mean, like, they could put Chris Colfer as, you know, best supporting actor in a drama series versus comedy.
Glee is in comedy.
Okay, yeah. So, I mean, they could do that to better his chances as opposed to
They just need to make a dramedy category.
Seriously.
That would free up some space.
We've also got Kristen Chenoweth, we've also got Dot Marie Jones and Gwyneth Paltrow nominated in that category. Jennifer, do either of those light you up as surprises, or does that seem, you know?
No, it seems about right.
Suitable.
Again, other than just Dot Marie Jones being, I guess she was a guest star. I guess she was as much a guest star as Gwyneth Paltrow. It's just that I think I expected Gwyneth Paltrow to be like a one-time
character
pony because of you know, her status as an actress, Academy Award winner and all that stuff. But and I think Dot Marie Jones, I just assumed she was a regular, so...
Yeah, I think the issues we're having are more with the concept of an outstanding guest actress than anything.
Yeah.
But Jennifer, you've seen all these shows. Kristen Chenoweth, Dawn Marie Jones, Gwyneth Paltrow, Cloris Leachman, Tina Fey, or Elizabeth Banks. Oh, who would you pick?
God, I have seen all
the
of
enemy,
these.
And to win the Emmy. I just said Emmy. All right, so just said enemy. What? who would you pick enemies. To win the guest actress?
Wow. They're also... They really are all so good. Honestly, just because I knew so little of her before this, I would say Dot Marie Jones.
Interesting.
Because, also because of the range that her character played. Her character played, you know, a very strong and control person, but then also played so incredibly well as a vulnerable person. So I would say the range, her range was greater.
I agree. I think if... I want to say Dot Marie Jones, but God, I love Cloris Leachman on Raising
too.
Hope. I think she's so great. Ed, do you have a pick in that category?
There's so many people I don't know.
Oh, okay.
So, I mean, of the three Glee people, I think Dot Marie Jones probably the best choice.
Yeah, definitely for Glee, Dot Marie Jones is the winner. We also have Glee nominated for Outstanding Comedy Series. The other nominees in that category are Big Bang Theory, Modern Family, The Office, Parks and Rec, and 30 Rock.
You know, Parks and Rec was fantastic this year.
Glee
was not. So
The Office has no business being in that category. Office was dismal this year.
I think they just leave it on the form. Yeah, I think they're like, oh, we forgot to erase that
Even
one.
30 Rock was a little off its game in comparison to like Modern Family and Parks and Rec. Parks and Rec was on fire this year.
I have to go Parks and Rec with this one. And you know how much I love the other shows. But as far as... Just incredible writing and stories and grabbing and holding my attention through the entire episode. Yeah,
absolutely. Back again, Jane Lynch is nominated for Outstanding Supporting Actress in a Comedy, up against Betty White for Hot in Cleveland. I've never seen that show, but I love the cast.
I've heard it's actually quite good.
Julie Bowen for Modern Family, Sofia Vergara for Modern Family, Kristen Wiig on Saturday Night Live. That's odd. And Jane Krakowski on 30 Rock. Jennifer, you've seen all these shows, but Betty White.
Darn it.
Do you have a pick?
Darn it. This is Best Actress?
Best Supporting.
Best Supporting. I think I would go Julie Bowen.
Ed, any opinion? Jane Lynch, Betty White, Julie Bowen, Sofia Vergara, Kristen Wiig, or Jane Krakowski?
Not to be like a Mr. Agree. I guess I'm Team Julie.
I'm totally Team Julie. I think that Julie Bowen, I mean, she's so good on Modern Family. And Jane Lynch won last year, and Jane Lynch didn't have that great a season on Glee.
Well, her material wasn't as good this
exactly.
year.
Exactly. She didn't have the storyline she had last year.
Her biggest downfall is
on Modern Family, Julie Bowen is just so, I mean, this year was just fantastic for her. And then, of course, Chris Colfer was nominated once again in the Outstanding Supporting Actor in a Comedy. Chris Colfer, Jesse Tyler Ferguson, nominated for Modern Family, as well as Eric Stone Street for Modern Family, and Ed O'Neill for Modern Family, and Ty Burrell for Modern Family.
Oh, that's
so do they even have actors, or is everyone supporting everyone else?
Apparently, there's no lead actors.
Is Modern Family
Family
like some kind of weird card house, and nothing really stands on its own?
No
Pretty
idea.
Much. I mean, it's so intermeshed. Like each segment of that big, distorted, crazy, wacky, fun family is, you know, meshed together in such a way.
They should definitely put, I can't remember her name, the Asian baby. She should be like the lead
Lily.
Actress.
Yes. Who they're replacing.
They should put her in for lead actress.
Did you read they're replacing Lily? They've got a new Lily
what?
This season.
Why?
Apparently, and I haven't heard anything since I've read this first thing, the story on it, but apparently the twin girls who portray Lily, the most sedated child on the planet, Apparently, there's issues negotiating her contract, so they're looking to replace her.
Why? What issues?
I'm assuming money, like every issue.
Anyway, we should probably go back to Glee. But yes, so we have all these nominees.
Possibly.
Outstanding Supporting Actor, Chris Colfer, Every Male from Modern Family, or John Cryer from Two and a Half Men. I hate to see Chris Colfer go up there again because it is a bit repetitive, but... I can't really pick between the men in Modern Family. I guess my gut would probably go with Jesse Tyler Ferguson.
My gut is Eric Stone Street. That's what I think.
Yeah, you're right.
I'm going Ty Burrell.
You're right. I think Eric Stone Street. Ty Burrell for Jennifer.
And
the dog who can talk.
I mean, they're all so perfect in their role, but there's something that I think Ty Burrell does that's different than there is no other husband on TV like him.
That's true.
And I adore Jesse. I love them all.
Yeah.
I mean, I love Eric Stone Street and Jesse Ferguson and Ed O'Neill is great. I think he's just kind of like a, I don't know. He makes it look so effortlessly.
That is his skill, yes. Well, the big news, though, as far as the Emmys go, is that there were no nominations for Matthew Morrison, Lea Michele, or really anyone else in the cast. I don't really know. I mean, I think that Lea Michele was snubbed last year, but it's hard to say that she was snubbed this year because Lea Michele is barely on the show this year.
Yeah.
To say that she was snubbed last year, I think, is really true. But yeah, it's kind of wacky that she was, you know, not nominated. Is there anybody else from the cast that you think was worthy of a Emmy nomination this year, Ed?
I'm thinking about it. One could argue Naya Rivera. It could be argued.
Honestly, that's what came to mind for me as well, because she had a very dramatic story arc this year.
That is a very good observation. She's a good one. And I think Naya Rivera, if you had to pick anybody from the Glee cast, I think that would be the right one to go with. She definitely had an opportunity to go through or to get a nomination.
Mm-hmm.
We got some interesting voicemails. Let's go ahead and take a listen to this one.
Hi, Justin and Ed. This is listener Diana from San Pedro, California. I'm just calling to comment on something that was actually on the podcast 2 weeks ago. I'm a little behind. In regards to Josh saying that he wanted to hear a Bonnie Doon album. I actually recently just went and saw them in a concert, and I just have to say that they put on a really good performance. Not usually the type of music I listen to, but I really enjoyed myself. The music was really good. They actually invited the whole entire studio, well, people who were in there. It was a small venue, but everybody up on stage to sing with them. So we all got to go up on stage. They even let us play their instruments, things like that. So yeah, they definitely put on a good show. The music is really good. I actually have about 6 songs from them. I know they're recording more and going to be putting out an album, which I'm excited to hear. So I thought I would just comment on that and let you know that they are very good live. I'm also looking forward to it. Thank you. Bye.
So, yes, we did talk about Bonnie Doon last week. So for people looking forward to a Bonnie Doon record, there's a very positive review.
Cool.
About that upcoming thing. We also had an email from listener Kathy in the UK who attended the Glee convention over the weekend.
Wow, I didn't know they did that.
Kathy wrote, so last weekend here in the UK, we had the Star Fury G1 convention. Unfortunately, Harry Shum and Jenna Ushkowitz canceled only a week or so before the event, and a replacement I would have loved, Stephen Tobolowsky, also pulled out just a few days before. So the remaining guests were Iqbal Thiba, Max Adler, and Kevin McHale. She goes on to say, I'm a convention veteran, having done Xena and Star Trek conventions for years, and I was particularly impressed at what a nice guy Max Adler was, and very popular with the ladies. Iqbal was a lot of fun, especially when he pretty much did a stand-up routine in his second Q&A, and sang a few times, too. Max Adler refused all requests to sing, saying he wanted to save himself for Glee. As a show choir veteran, I bet he has a good voice. And Kevin McHale didn't give too much away, although he did confirm that they started filming the season 2 New York finale without a completed script and were surprised as the fans were about how it ended. Yeah, she said beyond that, she wore her Gleeful Podcast t-shirt.
That's awesome.
Which was really cool.
That's
I know, so cool.
Thank you.
We got a tweet. Oh, I wish I could find it. We got a tweet from one listener saying, I just saw someone at the UK GleeCon wearing a Gleeful Podcast t-shirt, and then Kathy coming in and saying, hey, that was me. So that's awesome. That people are finding
each
other. That
is the greatest compliment ever.
I know. Listener Kathy Cheers. Went on to say that she that Kevin did not give very much away, but he does seem he does say everybody seems really nice. People were kind of getting him to spill dirt on the rest of the cast, and that he did not, and insisted that Leah was not the diva that she sometime portrayed in the press.
Well, that's good to hear.
But yeah, so pretty neat. I'd love to see if there's a GleeCon in the U.S. Jennifer,
Who's Iqbar?
Iqbal Theba, Principal
Thiggins. It is okay. Yes. I by reason of reasonable deduction, I kind of figured that out. But I just wanted to make sure I wasn't missing something here.
It would be interesting to attend a GleeCon because cons are so much more about the fans kind of coming together. And as much as like going to a concert is kind of that, I don't know, a concert is more about like all the fans, you know, honoring the performers, but a con is more about the fans honoring each other. So I think it would be really interesting to attend something like a GleeCon. I don't know if they'll ever, or it doesn't look like they have any on the books for the US, but that would certainly be fun to do. We also had, let's see, where are we going next? we've got a lot of little things to talk about in this episode, but not as many big things. But I did want to thank listener Kathy for that email and everyone who attended the UK GleeCon. You know, let's just move on to the big topic, shall we? This week we had a new episode of the Glee Project with a big shakeup on the show. Something that I don't know. I don't want to say I didn't see it coming, but it was interesting. We had Cameron actually resign this week. He was not kicked off. He did resign, and a lot of talk on the interwebs and on the Twitter about his resignation and the reaction of the fans and the other contestants on the show. But before we get to that, we had a performance of Teenage Dream. Jennifer, how did you feel about the performance of Teenage Dream?
I thought it was, like, watching the video, kind of the way it's edited together, it's pretty cute, but watching them go through this now that they all know each other so well and all of their obvious, you know, they seem to have obviously paired up people that would be maybe the biggest challenge, I guess, to carry off this this week's task, but I thought it was okay. After all that, I was sort of like,
it was just okay. There was a lot of drama surrounding it, but it was just okay.
It seems like they're creating situations to make more drama. It's getting like a little gimmicky to me.
I mean, it is a reality show at the end of the day.
I know.
I do think, though, like with something like Parability or Teenage Dream, they don't have a group that pairs up well right now. So I don't know that there's really any way to make pretty couples. But the end result for Teenage Dream for me was a little weird. Some people doing better than others, but everybody just trying so hard.
Yeah.
Even after they're told, like, you know, being sexual is a lot of not trying and just kind of like feeling it and going with it.
Right.
And you have people like Alex, for whom being sexual was kind of being vampy and awkward. Samuel, who really only has one emotion, which seems to be creepy.
Yeah.
What do you think about Samuel was fierce to death in that video?
I just think, like, to me, Samuel only has intensity, and it comes off as
mean. I know he's intense or he isn't. But that intense worked for me.
Well, what did you think about it, Ed, about the Teenage Dream video?
I thought the standouts were Samuel and Lindsay, and maybe Damien. Maybe.
I liked Damien and Lindsay. I think, obviously, to me, they were kind of the best pairing, though I thought there was a charm in what Lindsay and Hannah did. It's just that all the drama surrounding... I'm sorry, what Hannah and...
I was like, what video did you see?
Different video.
And Cameron, yeah.
between Hannah and Cameron. There was just so much drama surrounding that leading up to it with all of Cameron's stuff that it was impossible to kind of watch their time together with clean eyes. You know, you were just looking to Cameron to be awkward. And at the end of the day, I thought he wasn't as bad as he could have been. It just wasn't, you know, it was impossible to really see that and kind of judge him
right. Openly.
But yeah, I liked Lindsay and Damien, and I think, I don't know, it's just, they have a different energy. Like, Lindsay's trying so hard all the time. She's so Rachel Berry, like, seriously.
Yeah, she got... She's
trying so hard.
There were a few times during the episode when I was like, oh, you must have practiced that look bazillion times in the mirror. I mean, like her fake shock and horror when, you know, she found out that Cameron quit.
Yeah.
I don't know. She's coming off extremely insincere.
Yeah, she's a tough one. She comes off insincere, and yet at the same time, I feel like, you know, that's the Rachel Berry in her. Like, that's as sincere as she can be.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I have a very love-hate relationship with her. But yes, Ed, what did you think about Cameron's resignation, Ed?
You know, it's whatever. It wasn't one of my... I really do believe wholeheartedly that it's going to come down to Lindsay Samuel. And in the end, they're probably going to go with Samuel. Like that's my feelings on it. Cameron, I don't know. He obviously wasn't right with it for it. He can't act very well. So
yeah,
but it's for the best. It's for the best. He wasn't gonna win. I don't know if going out like this is really the most honorable thing, because usually when you quit, you don't get to keep your stipend. So you were kind of silly, Cameron.
That bothered me the way Cameron went out. On the one hand, I thought that, you know, that you know, he resigned. He walked away from the show, and he's like, I think I'm just done. And I'm thinking, you know, you knew what this was going to entail. Like, I have a really hard time not looking at him and saying, you knew what this was going to entail, and you should have made this decision ahead of time, because him sticking around this long means that all the people that got kicked off ahead of him might have had one more week to figure it out. People that got kicked off arguably prematurely, like Marissa and Bryce, or even Emily, might have had one more week to get their act together, but they were eliminated early because people were, you know, continued making room for Cameron. But then at the same time, there's a part of me that also says, you know, Ryan looked at him and said, we are willing to work with you on this. If this is what you believe, you know, and you're willing to stand up for that, we're willing to work with you. And I'm thinking it was really Cameron's fault for not being more upfront earlier and saying, look, these are the things I'm uncomfortable with doing. If you're willing to work with me, then, you know, there's really something here and you obviously like me. And I don't know, he probably would have gotten kicked off for being, you know, for being hard to work with, but I think that would have been a much more admirable thing to do, as you know, that's what professionals do. Like, you come out and you say, this is what I'm willing to do, and they decide whether or not they're comfortable with that, and then, you know, you find a compromise in the middle. But instead, he kind of was just like, I'm out. And that was the thing that's the thing I keep coming back to. I don't know. And Jennifer, how did you feel about Cameron?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I kind of feel the same way as you do to an extent. I mean, I don't think he could have, you know, said what he said any sooner than this. I mean, it after being in the bottom three, what, three, four times?
Yeah.
And as much as I've liked him and kind of rallied for him, he clearly has limitations. And, you know, he's fun and he seems like a really sweet guy and he's got a good voice and he's unique and quirky. But as far as, yeah, can't act. And I think if he didn't have this much time in front of Ryan Murphy over the last few weeks in the bottom three, he never would have developed that bond with him.
Yeah.
For Ryan to say, listen, I, you know, you keep ending up here. And, you know, everything I hear from all the mentors is that, you know, you're difficult and that you're this and that you're that. And but yet he still wanted him. So I'm kind of torn. I think I'm annoyed that he didn't get voted off sooner for, you know, the same, like, yeah, like Marissa. I mean, like, she made one mistake and got booted. I mean, she was good all along. She was consistent and she was good and she was strong. And then she made one mistake and got booted off. So, like, why did she get no chances and he's gotten four?
Oh, totally. And would have gotten another one.
Would have gotten another
Ryan's
one.
Ryan's even going to him and saying, I was going to eliminate Damien. Yeah. And I'm thinking, but, like, Damien is still good. And Damien's getting better every week.
And they say that he is consistently, he is growing the most out of everybody.
Yeah.
And it's just like, and I get all wild up about this sort of stuff. And then I'm like, oh, wait, this is reality TV, which means 95% of it is,
yeah,
you know,
true.
Manipulated and fake. So we're back to start.
Typo had tweeted that Ryan Murphy is totally Finn, the way Finn is with Rachel. I don't want Rachel. Oh, wait, someone else wants Rachel? Well, no, I want Rachel. It's totally how Ryan Murphy was with Cameron.
I was seriously waiting for Ryan Murphy to, you know, say, tell me, you know, I'm not going to let you quit. I'm not going to let you quit, just to put his name up and fire him. Like, it just seemed like the type of thing you'd do. Like, you can't break up with me. I break up with you first.
I had this big problem with Cameron, too, where, like, he seemed to be unable to draw a line. Like, it wasn't even that he was unable to draw a line between acting and real life. Mm-hmm. He was unable to draw a line with, like, between sensuality and sexuality. It seemed like just being next to a girl to him was suddenly cheating on his girlfriend, and he was wildly uncomfortable with it. And there were just so many weird things that I was kind of thinking, I don't know, maybe I'd like to talk to Samuel, really get down to, like, how he feels about this, because on a reality show, it's not playing. And then at the same time, even though he'd
Samuel
be comfortable...
Samuel or Cameron?
I'm sorry, Cameron.
Okay.
I totally did a Samuel there. I was totally talking about Cameron. But then the other thing about Cameron, too, that was funny is he would say, like, I'm really uncomfortable with the sexuality. And then when they were doing the homework number, which number was that? When they were doing Like a Virgin, he was freaking mounting Lindsay, like, and doing, like, the nose to nose, and she climbed him like a ladder. And I'm thinking, Cameron, you're not looking very uncomfortable right now. So maybe he's a pretty good actor. He just can't deal with it after the fact.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was pretty bizarre. Let's go ahead and take a listen to some of what the listeners thought.
Hello, Gleeful Podcast. This is Betsy from Salem, Massachusetts, also known as Theater Knitter on Twitter. And just wanted to give my Gleeful Project update. So Cameron is full of drama. The boy is just drama, drama, drama. You know, he had to tell everybody that he is leaving so that Damien can be saved. And boy, if you want to be an actor, you might have to care with people. So kind of glad he's gone. I will say that a comment got made by the judges that they were trying to have a Christian character. And I'm wondering if they're forgetting about that whole Quinn Fabre thing where she was in the celibacy club and she was a Christian. They got her pregnant and she had a baby. So thinking they're forgetting about that whole storyline from season one, but writers have amnesia. And just want to say I'm totally on Team Hannah. The girl can act, and I think that's great. And I've been totally against Hannah, and I haven't liked Hannah at all, but I'm a big fan of Hannah. And Mark Salling and Ashley Fink are just adorable together, don't you think? So that's about it. Hope you all had a great week. I personally saw Josh Groban and was about 30 feet from him and thought he was amazing. So, yes, be jealous. And have a great day. Love the podcast. Bye.
That was, of course, Theater Knitter. And yeah, oh, you know, it's
so jealous.
It is funny that I had never thought about that, but Quinn Fabre was supposed to be our religious character. Like, that was her whole thing.
She was our moral compass.
Yes, and then, whoops.
Yeah, and actually she made another really good comment about the fact that Cameron even said they were going to cut Damien. I'm like, dude, that's not cool.
Yeah.
That really, and I mean, like, Damien just looked, like, floored. I just thought that was really kind of unnecessarily mean.
But I think it was, I didn't hold that one too against him. I kind of thought it was out of shock.
Yeah.
I don't
know. Still, it was like, oh, really?
And we also have Megan from Tennessee.
Hi, Gleeful Podcast. This is Megan from Tennessee. I have an idea about the Glee project. I really feel like Lindsay is going to win and act as a competition for Rachel this coming up season. I feel like Lindsay has the best voice, and she has the best female voice. So I think that instead of making her a replacement for Rachel, they'll make her a competition for Rachel. So just wondering what you guys thought. So thanks. Love your show. Bye.
And which brings us back to our back to the general question. Ed, you're still Samuel and Lindsay in the final two?
Well, honestly, okay. The two directions I see this going, if they go Samuel, he'll be in William McKinley. It's like whatever. But if they go Team Lindsay, I could legitimately, and I think I said this before, that she could be like seven episodes. She could legitimately be the lead person of Vocal Adrenaline. Legitimately.
I think that would be a really cool plot line to have another Rachel, like to have a really strong anti-Rachel, give her a couple, you know, tweak out the character a little bit. She's a solid 2 or 3 years younger than Rachel, and I would guess probably 3 or 4 inches shorter. And I think that would be a really cool plot line. I totally agree. I don't know where Samuel would fit into Glee.
Like, I mean,
I don't know what character they would give Samuel that he wouldn't just look weird next to. Because Glee, even though it's set in quote, you know, even though their whole thing is like we address real issues, they're a very idealized cast in appearance. And they're very specific stereotypes when you look at them. You can look at every member of the Glee Club and see what stereotype that character is addressing. I don't know what I would see. I mean, is there a big busking population in Lima, Ohio? I don't see it. So I'm not sure where Samuel would be. I don't know. Ed, what do you think?
Well, whenever I see dreadlocks, I'm going to be
You think
so...
Jason Castro? Sorry.
No, I was going to think... No, well, I guess I go the step further. I was thinking the burnout stoner crowd. So that's where my headspace goes. I mean, not to say that he's actually like that at all, because he doesn't seem like that. But he could be like, he could be an indie, eco-friendly, hippie-esque person.
Interesting.
I mean, that's just. I mean, I'm not the professional writer who gets amnesia, so who knows what I think.
There was a slip at Comic-Con, which I'm not going to share, but if you dig on the internet, you might be able to find it. That gave me a hint on where the Glee project is going, but I don't want to share it.
Why don't
so I
you
probably
want to share,
shouldn't
please?
Have even brought it up. But yeah, there was a slip at Comic-Con that gave me a hint.
Yeah, I totally missed it. But just to further elaborate on what Josh is saying, it was a hint that may indicate at least the gender of the person who wins, not the actual person themselves. But
well, if it's female, there's only two, and if it's male, there's
only
four,
two,
four,
three.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking as we were watching the episode of Glee Project this week. I'm thinking, oh my god, we have 5 more weeks of the show. I'm just ready to like find out.
Okay, so in support of Jason. in support of Samuel, physically he is different from everybody else on the cast. You know, he at least has that going for him, so he definitely would stand out. If Lindsay makes it, I can almost see her being, you know, initially the rival to Rachel because they're so much alike, they probably instantly hate each other. But I think, like, right before she graduates, I can see Rachel becoming her mentor and really kind of fostering her career in new directions, if that is what
I actually think a more accurate depiction of this is at the beginning of an episode, they're enemies. Mid-episode, they're mentoring. And by the end of the episode, they're enemies again.
Yeah, totally.
that's the more accurate depiction of what you're trying
relationship
to...
in Glee.
I think I'm going to have to go with Betsy, though. Like, with every episode, I become more Team Hannah. And I think she's
incredible.
I love Hannah, like, as a person, like, as a performer, as a great big goofball.
And she seems
awesome.
Decent, yeah, and she's, like, a really decent person, too.
And to see, like, so, you know, putting on my bigger picture, like, you know, bigger picture of the world hat, to see Hannah win a reality show would be freaking awesome. Awesome, because there's not a lot of reality shows that Hannah could win, and I would love to see that.
Yeah.
And to have somebody like Hannah on the show with her energy and her style and the fact that she's like a rapping chick would be awesome. I think that would be killer to have Hannah on Glee. But I keep watching the Glee project, and every week I say to Jennifer, Damien could pull this out. He could.
Foreign exchange student. He's adorable.
He is the, more than anybody, he writes his own plot line. I mean, Ryan keeps saying.
He comes prepackaged with the storyline.
And as we all know, Ryan Murphy says crap he does not always mean. So his comment, "You're saving Damien," could very well have been a lie, because Ryan Murphy says a lot of things that aren't actually true.
No, they're true at that moment, but
yeah.
Things change so rapidly.
Within the time it takes for the words to be created in his brain and leave his mouth, it's true, but yeah, everything else is in question.
It's very, very stream of consciousness. And that was another one that, okay, I was fully expecting to be, you know, blown away and like bawling my eyes out by the time he finished singing Danny Boy. Yes, it was underwhelming. That was disappointing. But I'm thinking, like, this person has made one, two mistakes. You're going to let Cameron just keep doing this over and over and over again?
Hannah's been in the bottom three once, and it was on
was it the couples?
Yeah, couples week when, like, you know, six of the eight people.
Like, Sam is going to totally pull a Marissa and get eliminated the second. Obviously, bottom three, like, the top three has to be the bottom three if there's only three people left.
Yeah.
And that's the way he's going to go, just because he has been in the bottom three the entire time. And he's like, I don't even know you. Go away.
Yeah.
Well, I asked on Facebook for people to give their opinions on Cameron's resignation. Listener Paris said, it irritates me. I'm sure there are many other people that would have killed for that spot. For him to just give it up, even with Ryan Murphy offering to work with him, just seriously irks me. I wonder if it will turn people off to Cameron in the future. Obviously, his EP is exploding on iTunes, so it's not turning them off too much, if only out of curiosity. But, you know, it could be interesting to see if this does hurt him in the long run. But if he were to go like a religious route with his music, it might actually help him. So, yeah, let's see here. Listener Misty says, I'm sad he gave up an opportunity to show the world what he stood for, but maybe he had an instinct that Ryan was saying he'd be respectful of his boundaries, but might not follow through. Yes.
Who knows? Gosh,
there's always the argument that is a reality show.
Yeah.
And then over on the Twitter, ladies and gentlemen, let's see. Papa's Two Cents was actually the person who made the comment that he didn't even want Cameron until he bowed out, and that was and then he was suddenly the favorite. You know, there's that was definitely awkward. That was weird, because I came out of that top three being like, Cameron wants to go and he really should go. And then suddenly Ryan's saying, but I wanted you to stay.
I fully expected Ryan Murphy to say, fine, go.
Yeah.
Are you telling me you want to leave? Okay, bye.
And of course, the most common comment, I think, in the chat room currently is Matt Chance on Twitter saying, I wish Alex had resigned instead. People are over Alex.
Well, he's over the show. That's
Alex doesn't even want to be there anymore.
He has an amazing voice, and I think he was a lot of fun in the beginning, but seriously, he's been kind of sleepwalking through the last few weeks, and he just seems too good for some of, you know, the projects and some of the, you know, the challenges, so I could see that.
Well, we will see how it continues to progress. We're down to five now, so we will see how the Glee project continues, and, you know, I'm not any more interested than I was before, but I can't argue. It's a nice way to fill the time between scenes of Glee. Before we go ahead and say goodbye, I did want to play this message from listener Abby.
Hi, it's Abby from Dallas, Texas. I was just calling to tell you that I was shopping in the grocery store, and Get It Right came on over the radio, and I thought that that was just something interesting. And love the show. Keep it up. Listen to you guys every day. Bye.
And in honor of Abby, we'll go ahead and go out on Get It Right. Ed, you, Jennifer, go ahead.
No.
Ed, did you have any iTunes reviewers you'd like to thank?
Oh, we only got one new one, so I'll just lump it in with next week's. Hopefully we'll have more than one. So, but thank you. But thank you to the person. Your contribution is valued. It's just, my computer's being, it's not being any more stupid than usual. It's just, my computer is being my computer. And and it just feels, I need to have my air conditioning on to operate my computer at this point.
Yeah, that's pretty rough. It's crazy hot here as well. It's been stupid hot in the house. Jennifer, did you have something you wanted to say?
No, I thought you were going to go to song without asking Ed for his reviews. So.
Oh, for his iTunes reviews?
Yeah, sorry.
No,
that's all. Just ignore me. I have nothing to say.
Never.
Hold on, Josh.
Yes.
You said you're going to choose the guitar pick winners.
I am. I'm going to choose them right now. We have two of them. And I don't want to give your entire email address.
Is there a name you could put on?
Give their first, the beginning.
Yeah, that's what I meant when you say that.
We have two. I'm spinning the magical wheel. And the first person who is going to come up is...
Holy crap.
Yeah, we got... There were a lot of you. So thank you so much for joining up. Spinning the magical wheel. And the first winner is... Clint Crawford 19. Go ahead and email me, ClintCrawford19. You are the first winner. And since you were first, I will let you choose which pick set you want. But I don't think that's going to be much of a choice. I think we know which one you're going to go with. And our second winner is N.L. Cook. So go ahead and email me as well, N.L. Cook. Those are our two winners on our picks, on our guitar picks. Thank you, everybody, for joining our email newsletter. And thank you for participating. It's really great. It's great to have a big... email list. I promise I won't abuse them, but it's a good way for us to be able to show people, like, this is how many, you know, listeners we have when you're trying to convince, you know, people to come on the show and
we don't give out
the
list.
You know, I tried getting an interview with Diana Agron. I'm pretty sure the person like was just laughing at me when I sent the email to her publisher. I was like, are you serious? Yes, I am serious.
You are
okay,
absolutely
guys.
Serious. No, absolutely. That would be. Wouldn't that be amazing?
That'd be so cool.
Anyway, that's about it for us for the Gleeful Podcast with Josh and Ed. I'm Josh.
I'm Jen.
An awkward moment when you wouldn't mind if Porsche won the whole thing.
Okay, I'm gonna let you say that one more time because you totally broke up there. Go.
Oh, I said that awkward moment when you wouldn't mind if Porsche won the whole thing. Hashtag BB13.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Check out the timing on that. We rule.